Could I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please? Welcome to Attention, Please, KPTZ's weekly news magazine. I'm Jim Burke, your host this week. I'm speaking this week with David Seglow, the area coordinator for the AARP Foundation's Tax Aid Program, a program that helps people of any age file their taxes. He's looking to recruit volunteers to help people file their taxes. I also spoke with Eva Bennett this week about the SHEBA program, which is the State Health Insurance Benefit Advisors, and they are people who help people understand Medicare. Very helpful people indeed, and they're looking for volunteers on an ongoing basis to help people understand Medicare, because that is also a very complex subject, kind of like taxes. We're going to start with David Seglow. Good afternoon.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
We are here to talk about the tax aid program. What is the tax aid program?
In essence, it's a tax preparation service that's sponsored by both the IRS and AARP Foundation. And essentially what we do is we volunteer to prepare and electronically file tax returns, primarily for low and middle income taxpayers of any age. But we don't apply those limits. There are basically no limits, and the service is free.
So there's no age limits. There's not even is there a middle income limit?
No, not really. This is our guidance in terms of how the program is structured. Okay. The only rules the IRS has is what they determine to be in scope or out of scope for the particular program we're in, which is called VITA. So the IRS says to us, there are certain things you can do inside the scope of the program, and there's other things you can't.
Oh, okay.
For example, you can do itemized deductions. You can do home sales. You can do home improvement. You can do self-employment. You can do all of those things.
Okay.
They're all within the scope of the program. Things that are outside of the list are things like, for example, if you have certain weird financial instruments like strange life insurance policies, we have a list of those that we're not supposed to deal with. Or, for example, if you buy and sell Bitcoin, that's one of the things the IRS says, nope, you guys shouldn't deal with that. Let other people, let professionals that are trained specifically for Bitcoin deal with that. If you have, for example, a long-term rental property, so if you have an ADU and you rent out your ADU for months at a time, that's something, unfortunately, under the VITA program, the IRS program, we can't deal with, and we would refer you to a professional tax preparer in that case.
Right, and they and the AARP Foundation got together to do this tax aid, AIDE program.
Yes.
What is the AARP Foundation that makes it different than AARP?
So AARP has a bunch of umbrella organizations under it, including the AARP Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that works on improving healthcare access, low-income community services, and other types of services to both general members of the community as well as senior citizens. So you have to be a member of AARP to get the benefits of the AARP program, for example. But to get the benefits of tax aid under the foundation, you don't have to be. You don't have to be a member of AARP. You don't have to be signed up. We provide those services to everybody under that umbrella of a nonprofit organization.
Super. So you're here to talk about volunteering with tax aid because it's the time of year. It's August. And August, September is when you start to recruit people and then you start to train them. So who can volunteer with the tax aid program?
Essentially anybody. All of our neighbors, anybody listening can volunteer. We have different roles depending on your interest level. There's different positions available both in person if you want to work directly with clients, with taxpayers, or remote. And we're looking for people in general who are pretty organized, that they're comfortable with computers. We do need people that have decent computer skills and are comfortable with numbers and they enjoy working with others. You kind of don't have to be a math whiz or a super calculator person. We do provide training, and most of our software does the calculations for you automatically. We welcome anybody, and we have positions for client facilitators, for tax counselors, for local coordinators around training and communications. So we have a variety of positions open, and we encourage people to join anytime, but especially in this period of the late summer, early fall.
Right, so that people can get up to speed so they can start helping people during tax season. I see here on the list here, you got bilingual interpreters as well.
Yes. I'm bilingual in Spanish, English and Spanish, and we have a lot of taxpayers who, for whom English may not be their primary, their principal language, or may not even be their strongest language. I personally volunteer in Forks, where a lot of our taxpayers are primarily Spanish-speaking.
Well, I got to say, even, you know, I'm an English-speaking person, but IRS forms are very difficult to understand, even in English. And I imagine when they're translated into any other language, they could be even more difficult to understand.
Absolutely, Jim. In fact, we have taxpayers who sometimes get letters from the IRS in English, and they're still, you can't understand them. So we translate English, you know, legalese to English, as well as English to other languages.
Is there a subset of legalese called taxese?
Well, yes, tax legalese for sure.
Okay. And then it says we are always looking for potential tax counselors. I assume those are the people who are actually doing the work with individuals to get their taxes filed, and you need more of them than anybody else.
Absolutely. It's the position that we have the highest level of training for, and it's the one that has the most skills. I mean, for you to become a tax counselor and actually prepare taxes for other people, there's a fair amount of preparation involved, and that's the position we have most openings for. But if you're not, if you say, hey, I don't want to be a tax counselor, I hate preparing, I can't even think about preparing taxes for others, we do have other positions available, and we're always welcome to, interested in talking to people about what they're, how they're interested in helping people get through the tax process.
Right. And so right now, August, September, you're trying to get people in the pipeline to train them. When's the earliest they can come see you, or when's the latest they can come see you this summer and fall?
Well, they can certainly start signing up now. So they could start signing up in August, September. We're going to kind of say we want people to sign up by the end of October, because if you sign up in November or December, it's hard to get you trained in time for the tax season. Although there's no absolute cutoff. If somebody signs up and says, I want to be a volunteer in November, we can work with them to find a position that they would be qualified for. But for most people, I'd say, you know, sign up between August and end of October. We'll get you in the pipeline, get you trained up, and that gives you an opportunity to feel confident about your skills and us an opportunity to give you the training and the certification you need.
That makes sense. How is volunteering with TaxAid different from volunteering with other community organizations?
Great question. I've actually volunteered with pretty much every organization you can think about on the peninsula.
Good for you.
And, you know, I've worked at the food bank, I've worked at Habitat, I've worked at different places. The main difference is that we train our tax volunteers for multiple weeks or months. You're not just moving boxes from one place to another or hammering nails in a board. You are actually preparing tax returns for people using the IRS tax laws and tax procedures, and you're getting certified to do that. We have online tests both for AARP's process and procedures as well as IRS tax law. It's different in the sense that you're getting a skill set that's very specific to doing something that's, you know, kind of complicated.
Does anybody ever volunteer to do the tax aid program and then go on to become a CPA or a tax preparer privately?
Potentially. We've had a few people who early on in their careers volunteer with us and then go on to, you know, do other things professionally or privately. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who are retired accountants or lawyers or people with tax experience. Maybe they've prepared their own taxes, who actually come into TaxAid and say, hey, I can do this. I've been doing this for myself for years. Uh-huh. Why don't you give me the extra training and I can do that for others?
That makes sense.
So we have both types of folks. In fact, I would encourage anybody who's in a community college and thinking about a career in accounting or a career in tax accounting to think about tax aid as a great opportunity to both pick up skills and experience before they pursue their professional career.
What kind of training or preparation is involved that you guys provide?
I actually spend quite a bit of time on that with the folks on my team, but we provide kind of a multidiscipline approach to training. The volunteers are provided with online self-paced materials. Mm-hmm. They get pre-recorded tutorial videos. We give them a whole booklet of pre-sampled tax return exercises. So you get the whole tax scenario plus the answers. Mm-hmm. And then we also provide one-on-one and group mentoring. So you're assigned a mentor that can answer your questions and can kind of get you over the sticky spots when you don't understand something. In addition to all of that, so that's all the stuff that kind of you get. And then as a volunteer, you have to pass certain certifications from both AARP and TaxAid or from the IRS to say that you can competently complete a tax return. So you get these materials from us in training, and then you pass certifications from both AARP and the IRS.
Well, that makes sense. So that you don't have just anybody just doing people's taxes. Oh,
that would be scary.
Yeah, it would. Well, it's scary enough. I mean, I think a lot of people are scared of taxes. It's understandable. It's a complex subject. What else does the tax aid program provide to the volunteers?
So in addition to the training materials, we also provide software, we provide the hardware, we provide a Google account, and we provide, you know, printed materials as well. So for those that are saying, well, where do I get the manual, the 1040, or when do I get the document that describes how to process this kind of tax return, we get those from the IRS ahead of time, and all the volunteers are provided with the materials that they need in order to do their job.
Okay. So they don't have to search for things. And you say hardware, they actually get a laptop or something to do the work?
They actually get a Chromebook, and we certify all the Chromebooks. They're secured, and each volunteer gets their own. They bring them to do the taxes. The hardware is provided so that you, as a volunteer, don't have to invest in buying an extra laptop or buying security software or things like that, because we provide it as part of the service.
And then how can people sign up to be a tax aid volunteer?
The best way to sign up is to go to aarp.org/volunteer on your favorite web browser. Mm-hmm. Once you're in there, you can search for tax aid, TaxAide, and then click on any of the volunteer links that come up. If you're having trouble doing that, then you can always call myself or Russ Fish, and you can contact me at 360-390-5250, or you can contact Russ at 360-452-6147. And you can leave a message on that line and we can get you registered and interested in the tax aid program if you couldn't get registered online.
So we can call David at 360-390-5250 or Russ at 360-452-6147.
Correct.
And I just wrote those down, so that shouldn't be very hard for people in Radio Land to write them down as well. I just said them a second time, so you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Thanks so much for being here with me today, David.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
Sure. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington, and you're listening to Attention, Please. We're speaking today with Eva Bennett, who is with the Statewide Health Insurance Benefit Advisors, SHEBA, who help people figure out Medicare, a complex system that people who are entering into it need a little help with. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning, Jim. I am right here in Port Townsend along with you. I don't know whether you knew that.
I did know that, and yet we are doing this over Zoom because we are very safe.
That's true.
And that way we can see each other's smiling faces and we don't have to worry about masks. Masks. So tell me about the SHIBA program for starters.
As you said, SHIBA stands for Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors. We are a in our local area of the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, and the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, which we call O3A, is a sponsor for SHIBA for the Office of Insurance Commissioner for the state of Washington. We operate as a volunteer organization. Statewide, there are about 250 volunteers. We help thousands of people every year. As an example, last year during open enrollment, which is October 15th to December 7th, we in the North Olympic Peninsula helped over 1,000 people.
Wow.
And we provide one-on-one counseling about Medicare specifically. And when I say counseling, our whole purpose is to provide people with accurate information so that they can make the best decisions possible under the Medicare rubric. We are confidential. We are well-trained. So our volunteers are not people who don't know anything about Medicare. It takes us a long time to become fluent in the Medicare language. That's all we do. We start off. Do you want me to talk about training right now?
And yeah, what actually, the volunteers that brings, that's exactly why I wanted to interview you, because I understand you're always looking for volunteers. Tell us about that.
We always are looking for volunteers. As I said earlier, we are a volunteer-driven organization. And by the way, we are a federal program called SHIP, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. Washington was the first of the SHIP programs, and that's why we have the name SHIBA. That was the one that we chose. Oh. And then the rest of the country decided, no, they preferred SHIP. So we maintain our SHIBA program. We start off, most of us don't know anything about Medicare. I was one of those people. I came from a background of information technology for decades, and then I graduated from law school.
Wow.
So I really don't know anything about Medicare, or I didn't know. I was asked to be a volunteer because when I was being counseled by a SHIBA person, that person was, I saw her entering my drug list, my prescription drug list onto the computer. And I said, oh, I could do that really fast. So she turned her computer around and I entered this stuff. And she said, do you want to be a volunteer? And I said, but I don't know Medicare. She said, don't worry, we train you. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll try that out.
And you can type fast.
That's right. Because of all my computer experience.
There you go.
So we go through something called basic training, which is 2 half days. Right now we're doing it safely via Zoom, mm-hmm. and that will probably continue because it is statewide training.
Right.
Then a person takes a test called a certification test. It's open book to test their knowledge from the basic training and also to help them understand the resources that are available for them to look things up. Uh-huh. After that, we go through a mentoring program, which can take a month or two up to several months. Mm. I figure it took me about 9 months. I was one of the slowest people ever to feel that I could actually help people without ruining their lives. That's what I was worried about.
Let's not do that.
Exactly. So most of our volunteers take a couple of months being mentored. Being mentored means that you sit and watch another counselor help people, and then another counselor or counselors watch you helping other people. And then we throw you out of the nest and say, go ahead and help people on your own. Mm-hmm. When I say on your own, that's an important factor. We are never on our own. We have support systems all over the place. It's not just research materials and reference materials, but one another, because we have so much experience, we're able to help one another, and we do that regularly. We have backup through the Office of Insurance Commissioner, mm-hmm. and we have backup through Medicare itself. We have a special phone number with Medicare from which we can talk with experts.
So you always have, if you don't know the answer, you can get the answer in short order.
Exactly. And we're taught never to be afraid. You know what? I don't know the answer.
Right.
Let me look it up, because that's much more acceptable than, oh, let me guess the answer.
Right.
Never.
If you're talking about health insurance for the rest of people's lives, then exactly. I guess it's good to be accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually, because I'm 64, I did something proactive for the first time in my life. And around my 64th birthday in April, I actually went and I visited a Sheba volunteer in the Port Townsend Community Center. And I was astounded by how in about a half hour or 45 minutes, I understood so many of the options that I had. I'm a little more relaxed now.
And you're well in time preparing. So that's really good. It helps a lot when people do prepare themselves for the changes, because then you're not in a panic.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing, and you know the basis of your decisions. You may not like the choices that you have, but at least you know what you're getting into.
Very good. Yes. Yeah, we don't have to talk about Medicare for All or any of those things, because those are, oh, look at this. I'm sorry, people out in radio land, I just want you to know that Eva has somebody's furry tail in front of her face right now. Who's this?
This is Lalka.
Lalka.
Which is doll in Polish.
Oh, sweet.
And so Lala means dolly, and she thinks that she's part of my body.
Right.
And I thought I locked her out of the room, and obviously I was not lucky enough to have caught her outside. I caught her inside, so yeah. She's now locked in with me.
Uh-oh. Well, that's awesome. Hi, Lala. It's good to see you. So if someone had an inkling that they wanted to be a Sheba volunteer, what would they do?
They would call me mm-hmm. at my business number, and that is area code 360-809-4793, and leave a message saying, I'm interested in being a volunteer.
Okay.
Then what happens is we provide an application. On that application, there are three references requested. Uh-huh. We check the references. We have a casual interview, mm-hmm. not a formal interview.
Right.
Once everybody's happy and wants to go forward after that interview and after the reference checks, you go through a national background check.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because we are talking about confidential information,
right,
and privacy here. After the background check is run, then comes the basic training. After the basic training comes the certification test, then comes mentoring.
Okay.
And then you're pushed out of the nest.
Nice. Wow. Cool. And then so then you have local places that people can go if they want information from the Sheba volunteers. I've seen those online in various places, and I've even gotten things in my mailbox.
I'll give you the Jefferson County schedule.
Okay.
We are at the Port Townsend Senior Center from 1 to 3 p.m. on the first and third Tuesday.
Okay.
We're in Chimicum at the Tri-Area Community Center from 10 to noon on the second and fourth Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And we're in Quilcene on the fourth Wednesday from 10 until noon. Finally, we do occasionally go to Brennan, but those are not scheduled visits. And I'd say, well, during the pandemic, we haven't been in Brennan at all.
When they call this, is this the same number, 360-809-4793, that people can call in to actually speak to a person for advice on the phone? Or is there another phone number for that?
There is another phone number.
Okay.
And it's a state phone number. It's 800-562-9000. 6900. And the calls for Jefferson and Clallam County come to me, but it gives me the opportunity to assign them to volunteers instead of having to pick up the calls on my own.
I understand. Cool, cool.
And then people think that they have a quick question. I've never heard a quick question that's a quick question, which is one of the reasons that I want the calls to come through the state.
That makes sense. I know that when it comes to, our interview's gone longer than I thought it would, so there's no such thing as quick questions or quick answers.
That's right.
But I do appreciate you joining me. Is there anything else that we've missed?
I haven't described a volunteer or described who may want or why someone may want to volunteer.
Oh, okay.
That person ought to be somebody clearly who is dedicated and passionate about helping people. Mm-hmm. We help all kinds of people. Anybody who walks in the door, we're going to help them, whether they're 65 and older, going on Medicare, or under 65 and disabled, mm-hmm. who are going on Medicare or on Medicare. We need people who want to meet people mm-hmm. and are friendly, because that's what we're doing all of the time. Volunteering makes us, and this type of volunteering makes us integral to the community. Mm-hmm. The nature of the help is so important, and people remember us and return all the time. And probably one of the most important things is that you need to want to learn constantly. Because as I said, we have monthly training, and that's necessary and required because things are always changing.
Right.
So learning is an important factor. Obviously, you have to be dedicated because of the number of hours that we spend doing this volunteer work all year. Mm-hmm. And you need to be friendly. Mm-hmm. You can be serious friendly like I am, and you can be fun friendly like you are, but you need to be a friendly, fundamentally friendly person.
I understand.
And finally, you need to be self-driven. Mm. I know that sounds trite or hackneyed.
No, I think it makes sense. I mean, a person has been pushed out of the nest, they need to be motivated, self-motivated to get there, to do the thing, to be open and friendly and available to people. And then they have to be willing and able to continue to train and understand the intricacies of Medicare.
That's true.
Which the reason I went to talk to somebody in April this year is because I knew if I waited until next year, there would just be too much stuff in my brain to sort out.
And by the way, you can come back as much as you need to, and we will be happy to see you again, Jim.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
And it's great to see you today, Eva. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for having me.
And our thanks to Eva Bennett and David Seglow for talking with us today. This is Jim Burke. I've been your host today on Attention Please. Attention Please is a production of KPTZ Community Radio, 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Thanks for joining us today
on Attention Please.
Can I have your attention, please?